T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
On his card, it always says BU, and it didn't look like he was being him. It just didn't look like the same. There's been so many times on the pregame show with Hub, you hear Olin and Big Cat and Hub afterward talk about Tariq Cohen got too many touches. He got too many handoffs, too many runs to him. We didn't see that. And that had worked for 12 wins before, but I was kind of shocked to not hear his name called and see him get just more straight-up runs. There was one play that he was used as a decoy to Josh Bellamy that tossed down the sideline. That worked, where he was the decoy, but I still wish he would have had the ball in his hands more. I mean, he's arguably the most dynamic player out there, and you win with the ball in your best player's hands.
The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Behind the AHL's highest scoring offense, the Chicago Wolves own the best start since their last championship. And for the 25th anniversary, enjoy free parking courtesy of Kia. High scoring, winning hockey, and free parking. Chicago Wolves, last team standing. Tony, let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. I am Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 o'clock. We have a full boat show ready for you. I can tell that we're like back in the regular swing of doing the show because Herb has gone back to his produced sheet of what we are having on the show so that I can keep everything straight. Here's what we got for you. Dave Lado will join us at 9:30. DePaul coming off a nice win against Seton Hall. We'll discuss that with him at 9:30. Jim Ozarski, who writes for the Journal Sentinel Milwaukee, will tell us what exactly the Packers are doing with their coaching search and if there's any update on what's going on with Vic Fangio. That's got humble brag. Jake Johnson just texted me and is like, we're going to lose Vic Fangio and Todd Bowles, aren't we? I'm like, probably. James Fegan is going to join us from The Athletic to talk about the White Sox. We're also going to mix in some Cubs conversation. Sierra Santos is going to join me from 7 until 8. She's across the street over at Fox. She's going to do her sports cast. She's going to come hang out with me for an hour and then go back and do another sports cast. We love when Sierra visits the show. And now that she's covering like everything, I cannot wait to bring her in here and talk a lot of Bears. I do want to pick her brain about the White Sox and what they're doing and what's up with the Bulls. I'm still not in a place yet where I'm ready to really get after it when it comes to the Bulls. But don't worry, we'll be there by the end of the week. Shout out to the Blackhawks, by the way, because they have been much better over the last like 13 or 14 games. It seems like guys have started to buy in a little bit with Colleton. So I give them props. Maybe it won't be a complete disaster over there and things will start trending upward. We shall see. The phone number is 312-644-6767 if you would like to jump in. Look, I'm very happy that my colleagues here enjoyed the Patrick Manley interview so much that they gave it a run on their show. I know Connor reached out last night, and the Mack and Parkins, they played a piece of it. So I'm glad that people got a chance to hear it in other day parts. I also realize that people listen at different times, and Patrick was on his 7 last night. So the interview, which I thought was great and really, really good from an X and O standpoint and very critical, and I think in a great way critical, I'm going to share that with you in about 30 minutes. So if you missed it, you don't have to go anywhere for it. Just hang out for the next 30 minutes with me, and we can get down and you can hear it and how cool it was. Tony, you're getting some love for the new intro stuff. So that was I told Tony, I was like, all right, Tony, you're the young guy on the show. Change up the sound. So we are working Now that we have more shows to do, we can be a little bit more creative. And we usually change the sound up at the beginning of the year anyway. So Tony is working on changing up the way the show sounds overall. It's a work in progress all the time, which is good for us. If you'd like to text the show, you could do that at 670-11. I know a lot of people still want to talk about the Bears, and I want to give you that opportunity. I'm not kidding. I'm sitting here. I'll tweet it out or Instagram it. And on Twitter and Instagram, my tag is at Lawrence W. Holmes. The guys over at Bandwagon Champs sent me, like they reached out to me and they said, hey, we got these Club Dub shirts. Do you want one? And I said, yes, I would like one for me, but I'd also like some for my listener. So I'm going to give away some Club Dub shirts. Not tonight. We'll get it all squared away for tomorrow. But I just wanted to tell you what it was like. Because in my mind, thinking ahead, like I'm big into this. In my mind, it was going to be a week where we would celebrate a little bit. So I wanted to give you shirts because everyone wants one of those Club Dub shirts. And now it feels like here's your consolation prize. So anyway, like I said, thanks to Mac and Parkins for the love for the Patrick Manley. And I'm going to give you basically the full thing. We edited it down for time just because we won't have enough time to run it in the window that we want to run it. But you'll get the gist of it. And I think some really good expertise from our special teams expert on that. All right. 312-644-6767 is the number. You can text us at 670-11. Vic Fangio is still available. He hasn't been hired yet, but I do worry that if he does leave, it changes the way that they look. And you should. Like, it's one of those things where people think that sometimes teams are teams. And they're going to be the exact same. It's not. It could change dramatically next year when you think about how important Vic is. Like, just put it in your mind. Like, how much have you told me throughout this season and last season how great Vic Fangio is? It's not that weird to go, if he's not there, are they as great? Now, it might be because the NFL is a players' league. You got great players. You can be a great coach. I believe John Fox said that. But it'd be great if you had someone with the creativity of Vic Fangio. Maybe he doesn't get the Denver job. Who knows? But if he does, it's going to change things. 312-644-6767. Travell on the South Side, you're on the Score.
What's up, Lawrence? I was calling to tell the real reason as to why the Bears lost to Philadelphia.
Hang on a second, Travell. All right, so Travell is about to tell us, like, he's had an epiphany, and he's about to tell us the real reason that they lost. Show of hands if you think that this might be tinfoil hat territory. Okay. All right. Tony and Herbie both raise their hands. I can see you in your car and you want to hear it. So let's get back to it. All right, Travell, what's the real reason that they lost?
Because they was racist and disrespectful in picking Mitchell Trubisky over Deshaun Watson.
And there it is. Congratulations to Travell for continuing a streak of horrible phone calls.
He is the worst.
For 20 years here at the Score.
I hadn't heard him since I came back, and that was like a year and a half ago.
Slow clap.
I just wanted to hear him again.
Yeah, okay.
It's good that he's alive. Like, I want to still, like, hear from, like, Tom from Hangover Park.
I don't. But, I mean, it's what I expected. And, you know, it was one of those moments where I could have gone with the choose your adventure aspect of this show. Sometimes I give it to the listener and say, do you really want to hear this? And then the listeners will text in and be like, nope, sure don't. We just went with it because we knew what it was going to be. Awful. Lindenhurst and Adam. Hey, Adam, you're on the Score.
Hi, Lawrence. Thank you for playing that previous call, by the way. Very entertaining. Appreciated that. So hopefully this one's not as bad. But I can't get out of my mind how Kareem Hunt is going to be a Chicago Bear next year. I know there's going to be pushback on, you know, him with his personal situation. But, I mean, if you look at the running back situation, Jordan Howard's not the running back of the future. I just can't get that vision out of my mind. So what are your thoughts on the Bears targeting Kareem Hunt this offseason, him being a Chicago Bear?
Why do they need him if they have Tariq Cohen?
Well, Tariq Cohen is clearly a great running back, but if you look at how the Chiefs set up their offense, you have multiple weapons like Tyreek Hill. So why couldn't the Bears invest, you know, even more? You have Tariq Cohen. Why couldn't you add a Kareem Hunt to the mix?
I mean,
the more weapons, the better.
I don't think the Bears are going to do that. Also, last I checked, he's not going to be available from the league. Is he even off the exemption list yet? We have no idea what his punishment is going to be. I feel like the first two calls have been bad. I'm just going to tell you the straight up truth. First two calls, not great today. I feel like we could do better. So I'm gonna give you the opportunity.
I don't know if the third one's better. It's fine. It's not great.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. We're just going to scrub the phone lines. So I apologize to David and Sterling, but we're only taking new callers. So anyone that like was right there that you hadn't screened yet, good. You can make my life a lot easier by being a better caller. And then people get mad because I'll be like, sometimes we don't do calls on the show. But the first two calls of the show are exactly why sometimes we don't do calls on the show. Why are you laughing, Tony?
Just think before you want to dial. And I know you want to call in and have your voice on a radio station. I get it. It's perfectly normal. But think before you pick up that phone, is this thought credible? Is he going to take it seriously?
I don't know. Look, yesterday was great. I thought our 6 o'clock hour with callers yesterday was incredible. And ordinarily, I don't really do a lot of calls in the 6. We do try to do great guests if I have some thoughts that I want to share. But I do feel an obligation as we're all trying to work our way through the Bears loss to give people a voice. In some cases, I am working as the therapist. In some cases, this is therapy for me. But I just want a whole new bank of callers, Herbie. Just a whole new bank. We're just not even going to... I just feel like there's some bad mojo going on. And we'll just try again.
All right, we got one that's good.
All right, let's go.
Seriously, out of 8 lines, we have one that's good?
That's the first one I started.
Okay, but Dante on the west side is okay.
Yes.
All right, now I am going to crowdsource it. All right, I'm going to take Dante. I'm going to trust Herbie and take Dante's call. Hey, Dante, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. To me, the game, I think they was missing Trey Burton. They couldn't threaten the middle of the field. If you notice, Philly was breaking 8 men in a box with single house safety. It was one-on-one coverage. They was daring him to throw the ball. Without Trey Burton to take one of those linebackers out of the box, you can't use corn because they was firing them the whole time. That spy was used to not only watch Trubisky, but keep Cohen from hitting the edge.
All right. Yes. That's right, Tony. Yes. That is a quality sports radio call right there. They did miss Trey Burton. And I do think it had some effect on what Tariq Cohen was going to be allowed to do. I guess Trey Burton was on with Cap earlier today, and he was talking to Cap about anxiety, but they wanted – Cap made it clear and Trey Burton made it clear that he didn't miss the game due to anxiety, that the issue that he had on Sunday or Saturday was the groin, but he does deal with anxiety. And I'm okay with him opening up. I think it's important when people of high status and stature – open up about things that are difficult to talk about. I think it makes it easier for other people to do those things. Yeah, but I do think that they missed him quite a bit. Quite a bit. And to me, it was evident how different they looked. Texter, and he's not the only one, said, can you just talk about Captain Marvel and Infinity Wars instead of taking calls? I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I will tell you, I'm very excited for the Captain Marvel movie. I saw Aquaman, and I think you need to see it in theaters, but I didn't think it was great. I thought it was great in moments and then bad in other moments. So there's your comic book movie talk. While Herbie is replenishing the phone bank, and the phone number is 312-644-6767, we're going to take a timeout. We'll come back, and we'll have great callers. On Myriad, oh my goodness, Herbie is shaking his head that we won't have great callers. Tony, what's happening over there?
It seems like nobody's really taken the advice so far that I gave the people is think before you call, and everybody's just started just to call in.
Oh, they think we're playing Score Hello? We're not doing that. Poor Herbie. We'll get it corrected. Back after this on The Score. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Sierra Santos of Fox 32 is going to hang out with me, and we're going to talk Bears and White Sox and Bulls and all sorts of other stuff. This segment is being brought to you by Subway. Satisfy your steak-a-tite with Subway Restaurant's $3.99 6-inch steak and cheese. Hurry in this month only. January only at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. In about 12 minutes, I'm going to let you hear if you missed the interview with Patrick Manley. I think you should stick around for it. It's really good. And it gives you a window into what really happened on the blocked kick of Cody Parkey that ended up losing the game for your Chicago Bears. And we've been discussing that and how it feels to deal with this now and thinking that the Bears would move on and it being so abrupt. And we'll probably deal with that for the rest of the week. 312-644-6767 is the number. If you're just joining us in our first segment, we had two terrible phone calls. So we just eliminated everyone was on the line, started all over again, and hopefully got a better result. Now we have 8 phone lines. I see 7 of them are filled and 6 of them are screened. And there's a video of Herbie out there trying to screen some on my Twitter account at Lawrence W. Holmes. So hopefully things are going to get better. I mean, in 10 minutes, I'm going to stop taking phone calls anyway for a little while, but I would like to talk with people who are normal. Hi, Marshall. You're on The Score.
Hey, man. I wanted to talk about Sherrod McManus not getting hands on Golden Tate. Anytime you have a guy at the line, that was a timing route. You don't get hands on him and get him off that timing and off that route. That play wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it was a quick sprint out, and Golden Tate ran that route perfectly. Leonard Floyd almost got there. He played it great. He stayed as wide, a little bit wider than Foles, and he almost got his hands in there to make a play. It could have been different, but it wasn't, and they lost. That sequence of downs, if you still have it on your DVR, I would suggest that you watch the game again. And in that sequence of downs, there was some cool stuff that the Bears did defensively. Eddie Goldman, man, the more I watched that game, the more impressed I was with what he's done all season long. Milwaukee and Patrick. Hey, Patrick, you're on The Score.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So my question was, do you remember a couple years ago against the Packers, Rodgers fumbled the ball and everyone assumed it was incomplete?
Yes.
And their receiver picked it up and he ran into the end zone.
Yes.
I don't understand why players, especially Bears players, are not taught to pick up a ball when it's on the ground.
Well, they are. I mean, the old Lovey guys were taught that. And honestly, I was joking. Like, I was a little bit surprised because there's an old Lovey guy out there playing for Philadelphia and he didn't pick the ball up. But also, the other thing is, the referee blew the whistle real quick. So I don't know if there's any real blame to talk about when it comes to that. But Corey Graham played for Lovie Smith, and he didn't rush to pick the ball up. I thought the whistle was quick, too quick. And honestly, I think Bears fans should probably stop complaining about that play, because I think it was to your advantage that call went the way that it did. Because it could have very easily ended up with the Eagles having the ball. So you should be thanking that referee who blew the play dead. Naperville and Michael. Hey, Michael, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, first time talking to you. Listen, I wanted to thank you for doing all your preparation that you do. You're the best in the media at doing it, and it shows. So, that said, I watched your show after the game the other night, and you put it to Matt and Briggs and Alex Brown about what they were going to say to Cody Parkey. And I got to tell you, my jaw dropped. They were as honest as could be. They were mad at the guy. What was your thought when you're sitting there near him? Did you think you were going to hear that from them, or were you going to get the line, oh, well, you know, it can be everybody, you know, you try your best and we're supporting them. I mean, I know they're teammates, but I love the honesty. What are your thoughts?
I appreciate the phone call. Thank you for the nice words, and I really enjoyed doing the football after show with those guys. We had God, that was a lot of fun. A great crew over there, a lot of great people behind the scenes. The EPs, Paul and Slavko, like, do really great work with us and keeping us all together, NBC Sports Chicago, and they give us a lot of freedom to do stuff. I was not surprised by their response to it. I'll tell you this much, too. People look at Matt Forte, and they look at Matt Forte and think, super nice guy, like sweetheart of a guy. And for the most part, he is. But that guy is a killer. That guy is very serious about his football. And that's the one thing that I've learned this season doing the show with Matt instead of, you know, we did it with Jim last year, who's also incredible. But I learned why Matt Forte was as good of a player as he was. Because that guy takes the game very seriously. And that's a guy that I don't know if he would ever want to coach. But I think that he might be right for it. He might be right to be in a front office too because of how much preparation he does. But I wasn't surprised by that. Those guys, they played at a really high level. And you'll hear it from Patrick too. That's another, like, we're going to play this in what, like 10 minutes, like 5-7 minutes, okay? You need to hear what Patrick says about that because Patrick is like the ultimate nice guy. But he echoed some of the same feelings that those guys had about what you say to Parkey in the aftermath, which is you have a job to do and you don't do it well. We can be friendly, but I can't trust you as a teammate. Hey, Mike, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, first time caller, long time listener, love you. You're awesome.
Thank you.
I have a two-part question. First, I haven't heard it yet, or I might have missed it. No one has actually asked Aggie, why did we escape from the running when we only had about 18 attempts for the whole game, and including Trubisky. I understand Trubisky might have been hurt. I heard that earlier on the show, not your show. But then my second part is what I think the Bears need to work on in the offseason is kicker, beef up that O-line, and get that special teams up. What do you think? And I'll just sit back and listen.
I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. Well, he was kind of asked about it. After the game, someone asked him why Tariq Cohen only got 4 touches, and he got a little testy about it. I don't know if it's them necessarily going away from the run game, but I do agree that their play calling was very conservative. And what I would say is they were very horizontal. And then when they went vertical in the third and fourth quarter, they had some success. And I don't know if Nagy's plan was to set some of the defensive backs up by going vertical, by going horizontal and then going vertical. I just think that maybe it took them a little too long to get there. But I appreciate it. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena. This season, single-game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now at nusports.com. You'll hear from Patrick Manley coming up in a little bit. Elmhurst and Dylan. Hey, Dylan, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence. Thanks for taking my call. I've called in a few times. I just wanted to make two quick points. Number one, I've been talking to a few friends and buddies. Like, who do we place the blame on for this loss? I think it's half the offense and half Cody Parkey, obviously. The offense was very stagnant in the first half. 6 points is not good enough. 15 points is not going to win you a football game in 2018. Maybe in the 80s it will, but not today. It was just very, very conservative play calling. I think Nagy got away from quote-unquote BU, and I think he was, like, playing with house money that the defense was going to do its job, which it did. I read some stat where teams with a +2 turnover differential win 95% of the time. So the defense did its job. My second point I wanted to make was relating to Cody Parkey. I think a lot of his problems had to do with confidence. And I read an interesting segment, I think it was on CNN, about Jason Lambeau, a kicker from Jacksonville. He does meditation and yoga to prepare for the games. And I just wanted to get your take on, like, we've seen so many kickers like Roberto Aguayo, who is one of the best college kickers of all time, just a complete bust in the NFL. What do you think it has to do with some of these kickers where they just come into the NFL or they switch teams and they're just not good enough anymore?
Well, I hate to keep promoting the interview with Patrick Manley, but that is one of the things that will be addressed. And you'll hear his thoughts on it. His thoughts, honestly, are more valuable than mine on the subject. So I'll let you wait and hear his. I'll just say that there are a lot of people that I've talked to over the last 48 hours, or I guess 44 hours, that have said the same thing to me, which is they could tell from the way that he set up the kick wasn't going to work. And that the tip may have played a role, but and Patrick sent me the picture. You know what? Maybe I'll tweet it out. Patrick sent me a picture, a still shot, of the guy who blocked the kick. He's barely off the ground. Barely off the ground. Which means a low trajectory on the kick, and you probably didn't need that low of him. It's very technical. I'll let Patrick explain it, and we will do that next. Patrick Manley explaining what happened with Cody Parkey and a really great interview about the Bears season. It's next here on The Score. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Sierra Santos is going to be in studio with me. We're going to hang out and have a good time and talk about all sorts of stuff. It'll be good to see her. She's moved over to Fox. We're still friends, though. We still kick it. So she's going to come kick it with us. And it's great because Fox is literally across the street from the Score studio. So she's like giving her dinner break to you, the Score listener. So props to her. Yesterday, I had Patrick Manley on the show. It was a guy that I wanted to target to talk to Monday after the way the game ended because of his expertise with almost two decades of being a special teams guy and playing the most games of any Bear ever. He's seen a lot of kicks. He's been part of a lot of conversations about kicking. He knows kicking as well as he knows long snapping. So I wanted to pick his brain. The conversation goes into a lot of different directions, and I love that Patrick has become such a good analyst overall. I truly respect his opinion, and he's gotten great at explaining things. So I wanted to share this with people who didn't get a chance to hear it live yesterday. And for those of you who listened to it on the podcast, I appreciate it. And thanks to my teammates here at The Score, McNeil and Parkins, they played a little bit of it. And I know that Connor McKnight was high on it as well. But this was my conversation with Patrick Manley about how the season ended. And it starts with him explaining his feelings when he realized the kick was no good.
I think I might have screamed, "Oh my God." And I just was in shock. And I said earlier, I feel bad for Cody. I feel terrible for the city because it's been 8 long years for a season like this and to get experience a playoff game at home. And I'm still upset. I'm still devastated. And, you know, those players are hurting, and they'll carry this on for a while. But you got to take it in time, Lawrence, and turn it into motivation to make yourself a better player, not only Cody, but everybody else on that team to figure out how you take that next step next year.
Not to reopen a wound, but you lost the Super Bowl.
I did.
So how hard are those moments to deal with? I mean, we had Thomas Jones on the show a long time ago in this summer, and he was talking about how it still haunts him, that he still will not watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like that he makes sure that he is working out or doing something while the Super Bowl is on, because it hurts him too much to watch the Super Bowl. So how do you go about getting over something this significant in your career?
You know, I think Matt Nagy sums it up. He's like, you got to feel the hurt. You got to understand it, and you got to move forward from it and maybe use that as fuel. And sure, I still call our NFC championship ring a Super Bowl loser ring, because just because it still hurts. But you try to look back on like that entire year. If this is different than that kick, you look back on that entire year and remember the good. You remember your teammates, the fun ride getting there, the big wins. But yeah, that loss will always hurt. It should hurt them. And you just got to find a way to use that as positive motivation to never put yourself in that situation again. But it's going to happen. But see how you can overcome it as a team and make sure you get better.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score. Longtime Bears, long snapper, the most tenured Bear in Bears history. Played more games than anybody. So, Patrick, I know how you are about special teams. I know that you watch a ton of tape, and I imagine that you have run the DVR back and forth and back and forth on the kick. What did you see?
All right, I'll run you through the entire play. I'll start from snap all the way through the kick. The snap came back, and if you look at laces being at 12 o'clock, the laces were 6 o'clock, so they were backwards. They were almost completely backwards. Pat O'Donnell did a great job of spinning the ball and having it sitting there forward. So that really wasn't an issue. Yes, Parkey saw a ball spinning, but he's seen it all year long. And before he got to the kick, the ball was, you know, set down right with the right angle. And then you can just tell that Cody does not look comfortable. And all his steps all the way to the ball to his follow-through, he doesn't look comfortable. He looks like he peaks a little quick. He looks like he gets a little quick in his swing and pulls it a little left. Up front, you know, there's other guys that are blocking for you. They ran sometimes teams will rush over the edge and they'll try to put maybe four over three guys on the edge side. Well, this, they tried to put three in the B over the B gap. So they line a guy head up over the guard, which is James Daniels. They put a guy right in the B gap, and they put a body right on Bobby Massey. And what they do is those two have those three. So it's three guys coming through, trying to get through that B gap, but trying to spit the guy in the middle. He penetrates a little bit, not a whole lot. He gets about 3 yards deep. He's only 6'2". He gets his hand up. And, yeah, he tipped the ball. But overall, I did not like the way that Cody he did not look comfortable approaching the ball. And to answer all the questions, I thought he had a low kick. And I've talked to two other longtime successful kickers in the NFL, and they agreed with me. And I feel like I've seen a lot of kicks and know what the trajectory should look like, even from 43 yards. A 43-yard kick needs to be a little higher, and that's the kicker's job to do that, just knowing that the rush will come, and especially on a 43-yard game winner where they're coming with a little extra juice. And as a frontline blocker, you know if it's a 50-yard field goal, the kicker's got to drive it more just to get it there. So you know up front you've got to be a little more stout. But when you get in a situation like this, Lawrence, when you've got the game on the line, those guys got their, you know, toes dug in the dirt a little bit deeper, they're coming harder. I thought they did a fine job up front. James Daniels got turned a little bit, so there was a little bit of a gap in there. But, again, the guy's 6'2". He did get his arm up, and there is a photo from a photographer from the sidelines that shows the guy maybe got 4 to 5 inches off the ground. It's not like he got up in the air. And Cody just looked like he got quick on it, drove it too much, kicked it low. He got a hand on it. And, you know, as they say, the rest is history. Hit off the upright, and would have been a much better story if it hit off the upright and went in. But it didn't happen.
Yeah, and that bounce, like the bounce off the crossbar is the killer.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're sitting there going, you know, it could flip backwards and then go over the crossbar, and then it's an even better story. Then it's even better. It's like he did the thing that he does, but it ended up like working out in the Bears' favor.
Lawrence, if that happened, you book it. Bears win the Super Bowl. That's just the story that, you know what I mean? That sums it up. If that would have hit the crossbar and gone in, I would have said that book it. Bears are going to be in Atlanta. They're going to the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you broke it down, because I was joking earlier that I talked with a championship level soccer coach who said the exact same thing that you did, that when they saw the swing of the leg, that they knew it was pushed left. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if the tip actually may have given it an opportunity to be good instead of it going wide left.
I don't think so, Lawrence. I've seen a different view than most people, and it makes the ball go a little left. I think if it is not tipped,
I think it stays straight. I think it sneaks in the left side. I do believe it moved it a couple yards to the left, and I do think it caused it to go off the upright. That's just from what I've seen from the end zone views.
Was he spooked about the wind?
Because I think he is, and it's always windy there. Even though they say it's not windy and it's 5 degrees or 5 mile an hour wind, it's still moving in there. But I think what he has learned is that if you take the goalpost in thirds, if you got a little left to right wind, you play the left third of the whole of the goalpost, and it should move it back to the middle. And it looks like to me that that's kind of what he was playing. If he was trying to hit it to the left, that it would fall back to the right. You basically take the left, you take the right miss out because you're not going to cut it that far and miss the right upright. But you do play a little bit with that left upright, but it should fall either in the middle third left or down the middle if the wind pushes a little right. And I think he was trying to play that, and it just didn't work out.
You're his teammate. What would you say to him? Maybe not in the moment, but maybe it's today or tomorrow. How do you console him and try, because he's going to be your teammate, at least contractually. He's slated to be your teammate next year. How do you get him right?
That's a tough one. I'll be harsh here because I just believe as a professional, you're paid to do your job. I played with a whole lot of teammates over 16 years, and they were guys that I loved, but they just weren't good enough. And if they weren't good enough as a teammate, you have to be fair to all the rest of your teammates. You want somebody better in there. You want somebody that can do their job. And everybody knows what everybody's getting paid in there. And especially when Cody walked in there, they knew what he got because he was the big kicker signing that was coming in to solve all the problems, and he didn't. But if I'm his teammate today, you know, I'm hugging him and saying, man, I got your back, and let's get this right. But I also understand in the back of my mind that Ryan Pace has a job to do. He owes it to us as the Chicago Bears organization to put the best players out there on the field. So if he was to be moved on as a teammate and as a friend, if I became friendly with him for the year, I would understand it because the franchise deserves the best players they can get at each position. And that's a harsh answer, but that's just the reality of the business, that you make friendships in that locker room and the friendships go on for life, but you also still want the best player at every position to be out there. And, you know, guys get cut. And if they're not good enough at doing what they're able to do, it's time to move on. And it's understood in that locker room that you got to do your job.
How does Cody Parkey come back to this team? And I'm not even talking about his teammates.
It's hard, man, because he's going to walk into Soldier Field, or he's not going to walk onto the practice field in Bourbon A and get booed. And that's a hard thing to deal with. And you got to think about this too, is, you know, when you've been in the locker room, now everybody has to answer questions about him. Guys hate answering questions about other teammates. And he is now that guy. And that's going to be asked until, you know, forever. Because it's going to be a hard thing for him to get over. But, you know, you hate it as a teammate to be answering questions about somebody else. And I think that's something that Ryan Pace and the front office need to look at, because everybody else in that locker room is now going to have to deal with this situation.
There's another special teams play that I wanted to talk to you about. Well, two, actually. The O'Donnell punt.
Yeah.
Oh my! Like that he's been. I thought that Patrick has had a pretty good season. I think that he had a decent game up to that point. But that punt was significant.
He missed it. To me, it looked like he missed it. He went to his flip flop, is where that nose down is. What we had called it before is a flip flop kick, where you can kind of control it more. You know that it's going to go 42 to 45 yards. You're going to get enough hang, and you're going to see Darren Sproles back there raising his hand, and it's a safe kick. You take away the return. You get 42 yards of net. You're pretty much guaranteed it. To me, it just looked like he dropped it inside and he missed it and pulled it left, and it hurt him to get the only 36 yards. But, you know, he's another guy that is become more talented, because before, with the old special teams coaches, they made him kick that all the time. Chris Tabor let him become more of a professional punter and let him kick other kicks. At that moment, Brad Maynard texted me and he said, I don't understand why he just didn't let him drive the ball, hit a normal punt. But I can also understand that if you do hit that kick, you pretty much take the return out. You're guaranteed 42, 45 net, no return, don't have to worry about covering. But he didn't execute it.
And the return by Tariq Cohen, I went back. I enjoyed watching it because I really enjoyed watching Benny Cunningham block on that play.
Yeah.
He got two guys and kind of got the extra like 12 yards or so for Cohen because he got Malcolm Jenkins and just threw him around.
Lawrence, when you get a guy like that back there, like we had Devin Hester at Glenn Milburn before, guys that can always take it to the house, always have the chance, guys turn it up a little bit more up front. They'll block through the whistle, as they call it, or whatever. You know what I mean? That you saw that effort. Yeah, granted, it was a big moment, and everybody knew that, you know, we've got to block a little bit harder. But you've got Tariq Cohen back there, and you know with that talent that he could take it all the way. So, yeah, it was fun to watch that effort. But I kind of wish he would have got more touches maybe later in the season just to kind of get him ready, too, for the playoffs. And it didn't work out, but Tariq is a special player, and that was a hell of a run on his part, too.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score. Speaking of touches for Tariq Cohen, I felt like there weren't enough yesterday. Well, what was your assessment of the Bears' offense?
That on his card, it always says BU, and it didn't look like he was being him. It just didn't look like the same. There's been so many times on the pregame show with Hub, you hear Olin and Big Cat and Hub afterward talk about Tariq Cohen got too many touches. He got too many handoffs, too many runs to him. We didn't see that, and that had worked for 12 wins before, but I was kind of shocked to not hear his name called and see him get just more straight-up runs. There was one play that he was using as a decoy to Josh Bellamy that tossed down the sideline that worked, where he was the decoy, but I still wish he would have had the ball in his hands more. I mean, he's arguably the most dynamic player out there, and you win with the ball in your best player's hands.
It seemed like that they were trying to set Maddox up, and they spent a half trying to set him up. And I'm like, you don't need it. He's jumping routes. So if you want to double move him and hit him with something big, it was available in the second quarter. And I'm like, come on. Like, and then when they got to it in the second half, you're just sitting there going, why weren't they doing this earlier and get vertical a little bit on these guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. I don't understand. It just was a different, you know, watching this game, it just looked different offensively. They were just the calls played when they were called just looked different. The timing seemed different. I didn't get it. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if they saw something on tape that we didn't see or were trying to feel them out and maybe waited too long to do that. It just didn't have the same feel of all the other games he's called this season.
What's the thing that you will take away outside of what happened yesterday, but what will you take away from the Bears 2018 season?
You know, they overachieved, in my opinion. I didn't think they would be this good yet. I think Khalil Mack made the biggest difference, obviously, when they got him and the defense became what they were. But I just think they've sped up their growth, and I'm just excited to see where they go because I think they have a lot of good young players that took that next step. I think going into the season, everybody was hoping for Eddie Goldman, Leonard Floyd, Eddie Jackson, all these young guys to take that next step instead of just being the best nose guard on the Bears, be the best nose guard in the NFC North. And all those guys, to me, did that. And I think they're there and can only get better. And I think it's shown from their Pro Bowl recognition, their All-Pro recognition. But I just feel like it was a huge step forward instead of just a small step forward.
I was sitting next to Matt Forte yesterday, and he said something that honestly like haunts me now that I think about it. He talked about how you guys had really great success early on in his career, that you went to the playoffs, and then he spent the rest of his career chasing the playoffs and didn't get back there, and he is bitter about it. I mean, I know that you've dealt with this too. Like, you thought that there would be a run of
sure,
you guys going to the playoffs. So how do you convey to those guys that it's not guaranteed that you're going back there to avenge this loss or face the Rams or Saints and get them refocused on what will be a new team no matter what next year?
I think sometimes you just forget how hard you worked to be that successful. You know, some of those wins come easy with all the talent you have, but you forget you actually worked that hard in the weight room, the off season, at practice. You let nothing slide, and you have to have the right group of leaders in that locker room to not let anybody slide. I've said it before on the station that I felt like we had some guys that when they became Super Bowlers, they're not Pro Bowlers, they kind of just maybe coasted a little bit more because the city starts patting you on the back a little bit. You might get this car deal here, you're doing this commercial, and you feel like you have arrived, but you haven't. You still have to work your tail off because you are a backup linebacker or a fill-in guy here or whatever. You're not Brian Urlacher, you're not Olin Krutz, you're not those guys that are just
that gifted and worked that hard to become Hall of Famers and, you know, Hall of Fame material, in my opinion, about Olin and other guys, Lance Briggs. But you just can't let it slide, and you have to go back and remember how hard that season was. Yes, you had 12 wins, and you got to the playoffs and won the division, but just remember how hard that work was. And you have to work harder or repeat it. You know, you just can't slide at all.
That's some great stuff from Patrick Manley. I'm glad that we had the opportunity to talk. I'm glad that he shared his expertise on the kick and it getting blocked and why it got blocked and everything that he had to say about what happened on Sunday night. I thought it was, as far as an X and O interview, I don't know if we've had much better throughout the football season. So big thank you to Patrick for that, explaining what was the biggest play of the biggest game of the Bears season. All right, we're going to take a break. Sierra is already in the house, by the way. She got here early. Now we got to figure out, like, to get her a comfortable chair and all that good stuff. But we will. Sierra Santos of Fox 32 and La Vida Baseball. We have to talk about that, too. We're going to talk with Sierra coming up next. She's going to hang out with me for the entire 7 o'clock hour. So stick around. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.